I tell my brain what to do. This is Dr. Harold Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I tell my brain what to do. My brain is my computer. And in my computer, I choose the programs that I want to use. Now, I choose programs that are fun, programs that are beneficial, programs that are useful to me in every possible way. Now, if I take a program and I put it in my brain, and that program says you should work with these sort of aspects, and I don't have those sort of aspects, then that program does me no good. A lot of people who'd like to be a master, they like to be a master in all of their aspects, but they don't want to put into their mind the program for that master. Now, if I'm going to be a little child, I say, I am a little child. Well, Herb, nothing unusual about that. Yeah? Nothing unusual about that, except that I'm 50 years old. I say I'm a little child. I have never gotten over saying I'm a little child. And so, my brain is going to respond as a little child. And so everything I do is going to be from a little child's point of view. And that's going to be kind of cold. Kind of not good. So, I say, okay, Jesus said we should become as a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to become as a little child. Not that I'm going to be a little child, I'm going to be as a little child. Now, what did he mean by as a little child? He meant open, receptive, curious. Why? The perpetual question of children. And that's the kind of child that I want to become. Okay, now, I have a body, and I would say that one of my purposes in life is what, Ellen?
To be myself and have fun.
I would say that one of my purposes in life is to
be myself and have fun.
All right. If one of my purposes in life is to be myself and have fun, how do I be myself and have fun? Well, certainly, high on that list would be having a healthy body. Mm-hmm. Having a healthy body that does everything I want to do. Or let's put it this way. I would like to be totally unaware of my body. How about that? Totally unaware of my, I would just like to live in this temple of the living God, and I'm totally unaware of it. It's just perfect. It's a perfect temple. I have maintenance men taking care of the temple. I have gardeners taking care of the garden. I have bookkeepers and housekeepers and upstairs maids and downstairs maids, and I have all these sort of things. Well, boy, oh boy, aren't you a ritzy one? Yeah, That's what we do. Now, we have all of these functionaries who take care of our brain, who take care of our body, and they take care of it through our brain. Now, health results from visualizing the body behaving in ideal, healthy ways. I, from time to time, act like the lieutenant who's in charge of the housekeeping. And what do I wear as a lieutenant in charge of housekeeping? White gloves. White gloves.
Yes.
And I go around the house and I put my white gloves where it should be clean. And if it's not clean, my white gloves get dirty. Unthinkable. Okay, now, what do you think of that lieutenant? You think he's doing his job, don't you?
Sure.
Okay. Now, is he nasty or naughty or bad? He just expects that he has hired you and you and you to be the upstairs maid and the downstairs maid and the kitchen and stuff like that, and you're supposed to do your duty. Now, You, upstairs maid, are not supposed to tell the downstairs maid how to do her job, and downstairs maid, you're not supposed to tell the kitchen keepers how to do their job. You each do your own job. And you go out in your kitchen and you have a cup of coffee, and that's okay. But you don't tell the kitchen keeper how to do it. Now, the kitchen keeper may say, if you have a cup of coffee, you take your cup of coffee, your cup after you're done drinking it, and you rinse it out in the sink and wipe it and put it away, you know. Okay, that's just part of the game. Now, those are little things that are taken care of all the way along. Now, our body is much that same way. Our body is much that same way. We think that our eyes are things that see what's out here. And our eyes see from inside. That's the way they're functioned. That's the way they're designed. They project outwardly from us. You are a happy girl, so what do you see?
Happy people, happy world.
You are a successful person, who do you see?
Successful people.
You are a healthy person, what do you see?
Healthy people.
Exactly. Now, is that so strange?
No.
Well, you'd think it was strange, because you like to look outside and see other things. You like to look outside and see poor people who need help. You look at the gardener and you say, you're not doing the job right. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't look at the gardener and say, you're not doing the job right. You look at the gardener and say, oh, you're doing a wonderful job. And if he missed something, oh, you do everything so perfectly. I notice there's a few little leaves over there, and I know that you're going to be picking them up. You're so wonderful. You're so fantastic. You're such a good gardener. My goodness, I searched the ends of the earth until I could find you, you know? And you say to your housekeeper, you know, you say to your upstairs maid and your downstairs maid, my, when, you know, I go to bed at night and I get in my bed. Before I get in my bed, I sit on it and it is firm and tight. You have tucked the sheets in so beautifully and so forth. And then I go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom and I come back and my bed is all messed up. The sheet is pulled back. The blanket is pulled back. Blanket first, then the sheet, you know. And then, but it's still beautiful. Now, how did that happen? Well, that's what the upstairs maid does. While you, after you're into your PJs or whatever you're going to wear to bed, you go in the bathroom and you come back and your bed is all made for you. Isn't that nice?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Okay, now, how do we create our house? How do we create the people in our house and the people that are in our world? How do we create the circumstances? Do we have an ideal functioning body? If we have an ideal functioning body, we should recognize it from time to time. We say, I have my ideal functioning body. Now we say here, health results from visualizing the body behaving in ideal, healthy ways. Now, isn't it a nice thought to think of someone turning down your bed before you go to bed at night? You know? Cool. Really nice. Can't you just see Sylvia go into the bathroom and she comes back to her bed? Who did this? Who opened my bed so nice for me and who fluffed my pillow and so, my goodness, and who even had a bed warmer in there before I got in there. It's all cozy, snuggly, warm, ready for me to crawl in there. And who's in here? Hey, anybody around here? Anybody here? Yeah, just the puppies. But you see, that doesn't have to be a person. That doesn't have to be any. It is you. Now, Sylvia, do you create having someone warm your bed before you get in and turn your covers down for you so that when you come back from the bathroom, you're all set to slide under the covers and snuggle in for a good night's sleep? Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds real nice. Okay, now, Now, can that be done?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes, very easily. Now, okay, now, you see, this is what we're saying. Health results from visualizing the body behaving in ideal, healthy ways. Now, so, your bed is turned down. So, Before you go to bed, you kneel down to the edge of the bed and you pray. Or something like that. Before you go to bed, you sit on your bed perhaps for a moment, or maybe even snuggle in your bed and say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." No, you say, "God, I am a good creator. I created this lovely house. I created this lovely bed. I created this lovely body. Oh, this body is so beautiful." And praise your body. Praise it. Praise your healthy body. Praise your healthy teeth. Say, "My brain. My brain tunes my entire body to the program that I put in my brain, my thoughts. And my thoughts are, I have beautiful eyes, healthy eyes. I have healthy ears, beautiful ears. I hear perfectly. I have beautiful, every organ action and function of my body is perfect. And I feel it and I know it." And so, before I go to sleep, I recognize these things. And I claim these things. And then I say, "Now I will rest in peace." And so, in perfect peace, I just go, and I'm off in the land of Nod. And in the morning when I wake up, I say, "Wow, here I am, day! What wonderful things are we going to do?" And then I think, "My beautiful body, oh boy, I'm going to take this beautiful body and I'm going to wake it up. I'm going to go in the bathroom, turn on the shower and step into the shower and just feel, oh, so good, you know. And you don't need a lot of soap, just a little soap, just sort of rinse yourself off again. And then get ready for the day. Then you take the towel and you rub and you rub and you rub and you twist and you turn. And your whole body is just invigorated and alive with all the energy that you give. That's an energy massage too. A little vigorous energy massage, but a good energy massage too. And so, oh, I feel so good, you know. My goodness, I like to go dancing in the clouds. And isn't that an interesting idea, you know? But then you get up and you get going and you start your day. And you say, "This is a beautiful day that I have made to have fun and be myself. This is a beautiful day that I have made to be myself and have fun." However you want to phrase it. "This is a beautiful day." Claim the day. It could be cold as the devil. The devil is cold. Have you ever thought of that? And or it could be raining or anything, or sun shining or whatever, you know. But it's a beautiful day because it is our day. We have made it into exactly what we want it to be. I have chosen that day for me. Okay, then I go out into my day and I praise it. I say, "What a wonderful day!" And then the wind touches my face. Ooh, that's a crisp, cool wind that feels so good, you know. And you just walk into the day and you don't even know it. Now, when you walk into the wind and you feel the coolness on your face, do you notice your feet? Do you notice your legs?
Yeah.
Do you notice your body? It's perfect. You don't even notice it. And this is the way you want to always keep it. Always be aware that your body is perfect. You don't even know it. You can't tell me about the middle of your back, or you can't tell me the back of your hand even. You didn't even think about it until I told you to look, you know, and then you didn't even look. But the thing is, what is it? Who are you? Are you perfect? Are you ideal? Your thoughts are the perpetrators of all of the things that take place in your world, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, it's up to us to have this realization that health results from visualizing the body behaving in ideal, healthy ways. Do you think of your eyes as healthy? I get irritated at Ellen sometimes. I will give something to Ellen, and she'll say, no, I can't see that, it's too small. And Ellen, don't ever say that. But wear your glasses if you wish, but don't ever say, "I can't read that because it's too small. I can't read that." You're making a negative statement you don't want. Ellen, I say, "Come here. You say, I don't want to get up. I say, Alan, get up. Get your butt off that chair and move it, you know. And Alan says, oh, you bring it here to me.
Oh.
You bring it, you know. You want to show it to me? Bring it over here.
Oh,
you know? And here I am. I am the creator of my world. I'm sitting in my chair here. And little love is jumping up on my chair, wanting to be petted, you know. And so I reach down to pet him. And then Rex is standing over there looking on. I take my finger and I wiggle my finger and I say, Rex, come on over here. And Rex comes over. And so I give him a love. Now, you see, Rex is at my bid and my call. I don't have to get up for him. You know, he'll come to me. Now, this is how our body responds to us. We just wiggle our finger and say, come. We wiggle our finger and say, lay down, sit, stand, you know, do whatever. And our body does it. Now, if we say we can't do it, then we got a problem. Now, I have no problem, but I have a circumstance here with Ingeborg. I say, Ingeborg, when you sit at the table, pull your chair in so you don't drop all your food in your lap. And Ingeborg says, okay. And then the next time she sits at the table, I say, Ingeborg, pull your chair into the table. I'd like to have you do that because that's just part of the game that we have. She says, okay, but she doesn't do it. And I say, Ingeborg, every time. Now, I've been doing that every time. Now, why is it that she doesn't do it? Because I've been doing it every time. I've been thinking that I have to do it every time. Do I see her sitting with her chair pulled into the table nicely? Do I see it? Or do I say, oops, you didn't pull it in very far. You didn't pull it in very good. And she said, well, it's kind of hard to pull it on this rug and roll that chair and stuff like that. And I said, well, we twist the chair sideways, we slip it into there, then we slip into the chair, and then we turn and we're on right under the table. We don't have to pull it or anything. But the thing is, I see Ingeborg not having her chair pulled up to the table. Therefore, and to wit, she does not have it pulled up to the table. And she will never have it pulled up to the table as long as I always see her sitting with her chair and not pulled up to the table. Ingeborg says, what do you got to pick on me for? Well, you're easy. No, the thing is, does Ingeborg always have her chair pulled up to the table nicely?
Yes.
Now, Ellen, that's another one. Every time Ellen gets up from her chair, she leaves it standing out in the middle of the aisle where we all have to walk by to go here and there through the house. And I say, Ellen, push your chair in when you get up. She said, well, I'm going to sit down again. Well, you can pull it out and sit down. But if we walk by your chair, there's not enough room because you're big old...
Put me here.
You're big old...
That's right.
You're bad. Oh, now she's removing the furniture around so that she doesn't have to be concerned too much. But it's not the point. The point is, I say, Ellen, you always leave your chair standing out there. You always do this. You always do it. Now, isn't that silly? Is that what I want for her always to do that? Then why do I say that? You see, how foolish we are with our thoughts. How foolish we are with our attitudes. Do we always want it? You know? Sylvia, you always make my eggs nice in the morning. But now, isn't that wonderful, you know? Sylvia, why is it you always make my eggs so nice every morning? Hey, Sylvia, what's the matter with you? You always make my eggs so nice in the morning. She says, well, I love you, and I love making eggs, you know? And it's just a joy. Oh. Oh. So simple. Oh, like that, huh? You see, that's the way it is in our mind. That's the way it is in our thoughts. Ingeborg, why do you always do that? And Ingeborg says, what? Each time with Ingeborg, it's new. Each time with Ellen, it's new. And so, when I begin to see Ingeborg always sitting with her chair pulled snug to the table, and I always see Ellen, every time she gets up from the table, she pushes her chair in. Now, really, we could handle that quite easily. By just turning the table a little bit like this, that would put you over here and that put you over, leaving plenty of room for passage through everywhere, you know. But we don't do that. We have to have it at right angles to the room. We can't, and of course, it's a round table, so we can do anything we want to do. But no, we don't do that. So, hey, isn't that a nice idea? Let's set the table so that our chairs are cattywampus, and the pathway is always open, and Ellen doesn't have to push her chair in. Isn't that interesting? How about that?
Well, you try that out.
Yeah.
How we fit in, because that's... I'd rather have my chair always pulled in.
Always?
Yes.
All right. See, now, what did Ellen say? She would rather have her chair always pulled in. Now, Ellen says, I always pull my chair in. I would rather have as though it's something that might or might not be, something that could or could not be. We have to watch our words, because our thoughts are things. So now, whenever I get up from my chair, I pull it in. I push it in. Whenever I get up from my chair, I push it in. Now, isn't that the nice thing to do? Isn't that what you should do at your dining room table, in your dining room?
Right.
In your dining room, everybody gets up from their chair and pushes the chair in so that whoever is picking up dishes and doing things doesn't have to stumble over those chairs in kittywampus areas. And that's just sort of a normal thing, isn't it?
Right.
Now, why don't I see that as a normal thing in our home here?
You do.
Oh! I've been fighting against...
Yeah.
Ach, mein Gott. Okay, then you always push your chair. How lovely. And you? You're always pulling your chair. No, I know. Ellen will walk around the table when Ingeborg sits down and shove her under the table, shove her into the table, and then go over and pull her chair out and sit down. Wouldn't that be a beautiful, wonderful way to handle it? Well, that's just a thought. You think about it however you like. Now, health results from visualizing the body behaving in ideal, healthy ways. Can you visualize your body ideal, healthy? Mm-hmm. Can you visualize your body functioning in ideal, healthy ways, behaving in ideal, healthy ways? Can you imagine that? Yeah. So, how do you visualize your body behaving in ideal, healthy ways? How do you visualize it? Anybody? You visualize it by not visualizing it. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
When you are unaware of your body, it is functioning in beautiful ways. Really? When you are unaware... Now, how do we train ourselves to be unaware of our body? We don't. Well, yes, we do. How do we do it? How do we train ourselves to be unaware of our body?
We don't.
We think about...
the thought.
Huh?
We think the thought.
Yeah, well, think the thought what?
About our body.
No, we...
I am ideal spirit-minded body.
We think about something else.
Oh. Okay.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
We think about something else, and when we think about something else, we have our ideal body. If our body were not ideal, it would be making us think about it. You see? If our body were not, if our toe hurt, then we'd be thinking about it. But if our toe didn't hurt, we wouldn't be thinking about it.
That's true.
So now, how do we know our toe hurts?
Because we
put our attention there.
Because it hurts.
Yeah, that's why we put
our attention. But it sends a notification in our nerves to our brain that it has been disturbed. Okay, now. You send notification to your toe from your brain that it...
Whole and perfect.
Oh, yeah. That's whole and perfect. Now, is that so tough?
No.
But it has to be done. Every time you stub your toe, you say, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect. Every time. And I use it just for a silly illustration, because if we go around stubbing our toes all the time, that's kind of silly too. But every time you feel any type of bodily ache or pain or anything, you say, I'm home perfect. And your body says, I think I can outdo that. I will make it worse. And so it makes it worse. And you say, I'm home perked. I'm home perked. And then the body makes it worse. I'm home perked. I'm home. And then the body makes it worse and worse and worse and worse. And pretty soon you're just screaming through your memes. You're saying, yeah, it hurts so terrible. No. I will not admit for one second that it hurts terrible. I'm saying, I'm home perked. And pretty soon the hurt goes away because it doesn't get any attention. It does. Pay attention to what that is. Now, Ellen?
Yes?
If I give you a painkiller, what does it do?
It kills the pain.
What the painkiller does, it makes the nerves that send the message of pain to the brain from wherever the pain is, it makes it unaware. It makes it invalid. It nullifies it. What are words that you can use to say that? The pain
transforms it.
Hmm?
It vanishes.
Transforms it. Transforms
it. It vanishes.
Hmm?
It vanishes.
Well,
it deletes it.
No, okay, now let's just look at it.
It makes you become unaware of it.
That's right. That's exactly right. It makes you become unaware of it. Now, when you have water coming through the hose, and you turn off the hose at the faucet, the water is off. Is that terrible?
No.
All right. You have water coming through the hose, and you turn off the hose at the nozzle. Is that terrible?
No.
Then all the pressure is in the hose here. Now, the water is coming through the hose. You step on the hose, and the water doesn't go through the hose. Mm-hmm. What happens? Is that terrible?
Well, it might break the hose.
Why? Why?
Clicking.
No, you step on it. You keep the water from going through the hole. That's the same with stopping it at the nozzle. And you know, we right away want to think. Now you bend it. You twist the hose. Well, now that doesn't do anything bad. If you bend it consistently like that, you'll eventually break the hose. But if you bend it consistently by using painkillers, you'll eventually destroy the ability of the perceptors to perceive. You understand? And they say with people with diabetes, that they become insensitive to feeling in their feet. And when they become insensitive to feeling in their feet, they can hurt themselves and not know that they hurt themselves. Now, that's the same when you bend the hose. That's the same when you use painkillers. You use painkillers so often that you take away the perceptibility of feeling good as well as feeling bad. And we don't want to do this. Now, what we do is we take our attention away from it. Now you say, well, if the pain is coming through there, and the pain is real, and if you take a pain pill, you're going to hurt the perceptors and so forth, then taking your attention away, won't that hurt it too? Yes, in a way, a manner of speaking. It'll only hurt it insofar as it will no longer send those sort of signals through, because those signals are not being recognized. You know? So, when you have diabetes and your feet don't have sensitivity any longer, then the pain that might come through the foot, stepping on a stone or a nail or something, you don't feel it. It is not sent to the brain. Now, is there anything wrong with the channel? No. Where is the wrongness? Where is the imperceptibility of the nerve functioning on the feet? What has happened? Well, what has happened is that they have been given a message that they're out of service. And so they're out of service. They're not lost. They're not gone. They're just out of service. So what we do is we put them back in service with our mental attitude. Every organ, action, function of my body operates perfectly right now. Now, I want to say this so strongly and yet so nicely. If you had any sickness or any need or any desire to be a genius or whatever, or for independently wealthy or anything, if you could put 100% of your thinking power, your thinking on that, do you think that you would be healthy and you would be wealthy?
Yes.
I believe it too. Because, you see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever our thoughts are upon, that's what we reveal. There's no possibilities out here. You understand that? There are no possibilities anywhere. It already exists. It's just that, what are you going to claim for yourself today? Are you going to claim a lovely house, or a small house, a big house, or are you going to claim friends, or nice friends, long-lasting friends, friends who are the real type of friends, who don't ignore you or see you, but friends who see you only like you see yourself, you know? All these things, they're ours right now. But it's just a matter of, where do we want to put our consciousness? Ellen is having her grandson come to visit at the end of this month, and Ellen is thinking, what a lovely time that's going to be. Ellen is thinking, how great it is for me to show him around campus again. He's been here before, and show him all the things we're doing. How great it is for him to go and look at farming activities in California and so forth. How great!
That's right.
Does Ellen think of any problems?
No.
Why should she?
Right. Yes.
Why should she? What problems could there be?
None.
There could only be one delight upon another delight upon another delight. You see, this is what life is all about. This is why where we put our attention is where we put our experience. And so, this day, put your attention and your experience on all of the beautiful things that make your life fulfilled and rewarded and happy. And remember this phrase here. Health results from visualizing the body behaving in ideal, healthy ways. Wealth results from the same thing. Joy, peace, harmony, world peace, peace in our area. And Ellen was saying that she's got to have some carpentry work done on the Citadel. Now, instantly! And I think to myself, Ellen, number one.
It's done.
That's right. Number one, see it done. And number two, when?
Now.
And that's it. It's over. So now, when you look there, what are you going to see?
Perfect house.
Fabulous. Oh, I don't know why I'm so honored to have such perfect students in this beautiful university of ours. I am just so blessed. Right, Ingeborg?
Yes.
Right, Rex? Yes. Right? Love? Right? Micho? She's gone, isn't she?
Or
yes. Magic?
Magic.
Spot? Blackie? And did I forget anybody?
No.
Right, Sylvia?
Right.
So, this is what it's all about. And go forth and enjoy.
No survey.
Go forth and enjoy. I love you. I love you. I love you.